Back in the good old days.
And I had it. Oh,
dude, I was going to ask you. So if you could have a choice between knowing what happened in the past, you'll know how the pyramids were built, you know about ancient civilizations, or you can know what happens after you die. Which one would you pick?
I would choose the past. I don't think I want to know the future because it'd be like, I want to be surprised, but the past, I feel like I need to know, bro. I need to know how some things happen, bro.
I feel like I'm scared of being disappointed by the answer being like, oh yeah, you just die. And then it's like, it's nothing. And then I would have wasted a wish. But I know no matter what the answer is for what happened in the past, like I'd be satisfied knowing we just figured it out, humans, or it was aliens, or it was demons or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would choose the past because I can actually use that to my advantage, knowing things like this. You can create a whole new religion and make money off of it super easily.
You know what? Lucrative. I like it.
Yeah. And then it's like, at the end of the day, once I die, I'll know. So either way, I'll learn that one. It's just whether I know now or later.
That's true. I didn't think about that. You're going to figure that one out.
Wait, but what if you don't know how you die, right? What if you, like, just die? And then you're like, how the fuck did I die? When you, like, you know, wherever you go. You're just like,
did you ever watch the superhero movie, The Omni-Man?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
This show that came out? Yeah. You remember when he gets cloned and he's like, I didn't think that there'd be this feeling of continuum, you know? Like, yeah. It just continues. Like, it feels like this isn't a different version of him, but in reality, the original version of him is dead, you know?
Yeah.
But to his clone, who has all his memories, it just feels like he just basically just kept going. Like, there was no pause.
Passed out.
Yeah, it's kind of a trip. So I was thinking about this and I was like, so if we do get to a point where humans upload their brain, their memories, all that stuff onto a computer, well, did the person we know just die? And what we will continue to know is just the, you know, new, like, because we're not ourselves from 10 years ago. All the atoms and memories that made us up then are different or, you know, distorted and not even, as far as atoms go, not even the same. So the memories are kind of there, but I use this example, like me and my younger brother, Steven, I think I went to a baseball game when I was a little kid and he didn't, but my memory of the baseball game is the fireworks went off and that was it. I don't remember anything else. It was totally a non-existent memory. And he knows the fireworks went off. Like, he knows that much information because I told him that. So he's got the same amount of memory from that event as I do. And so his memory is the same. All the atoms that I made up my body by then they're not in my body anymore. Your body replaces itself in atoms throughout like a few years. It's not that long. And so the idea is he and me could have literally assumed that role and anybody would have just believed it. You know, the difference of me to him then is pretty much non-existent. There's no difference. It's about as different as I am from myself back then. So, you know, what makes us each other, I don't know if it even matters. It's up to interpretation at that point. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's more of an extreme example of how different you get when you upload your memories to a computer. But the concept's still the same. Like, the atoms are no longer there, but what defines you is there. What people would consider as Andrew is my memories, how I act, which assuming that would stay, is death what kind of concept is, you know, death in that context?
You wouldn't be anymore. As long as a copy is sustained of yourself, there is no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's not, because if you take a boat, right, and you ride the boat and then you upgrade a piece by piece, and in 10 years, none of the pieces on that boat are the same. You've remodeled it, you've changed it, but it's always been Andrew's boat, you know? But, you know, it's not like if somebody took all those pieces that you discarded when you were upgrading your boat and put together a boat from them, that they would own Andrew's boat. Like, it's still a different boat, you know? Because the definition of Andrew's boat was a boat that I owned. It wasn't the pieces and stuff that made it up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be a different boat, but
it'd be the same.
But if I was talking about it and someone built a boat out of my old pieces, even though I had a new boat and I was friends with that person, I would forever say they just have my old boat. secondhand boat. I'll just talk shit. But you're saying, and I imagine, okay, so when you say upload someone, like your memories, right? Can you, like, what?
Well, that's
what the big when you're uploading someone into a computer, what is it like? Are you saying like a virtual world they're going into, or are you saying they're just being?
So is it a computer that's processing all my memories and a humanoid kind of figure that, you know, for all intents and purposes is me? Or do I upload my consciousness into a virtual world where my body is completely virtual and everything I do is virtual?
It would have to be perfect scan mechanic. Like, regardless of if you end up in a computer or in a virtual world, all that matters is to ensure the continued idea that it is you, for all intents and purposes, of the idea that we are saying we are all of the atoms. Because you can't just say the consciousness scan, right? Because we then have to discuss what consciousness even is, and if that's more you, or if you are the relation of your entire body and atoms connected to that consciousness. So it would have to be a full perfect scan where the codes, in theory, you would have to say that all aspects of life can be coded somehow, even if they're extremely complex. Code them. Then that upload and perfect scan of you would be you. And I don't think it would be any different than our current body forms, right? Because like you're saying, the you from 10 years ago is going to change. And because if you're in a computer world now, most likely if you develop a consciousness and you can like self-reflect, you'll start changing your own memories, right? The things you don't want, you'll just delete. And then it'll start reflecting the same society that we had before. Now we just don't have a body.
Okay, well, I'm imagining that when you're uploaded, sure you're going to gain some capabilities and be able to do some things, but there's going to have to be management on that stuff. Like, there's going to, you can't, I don't think we can ever have a fully, like, there's going to be some, there's always going to have to be some type of manual stuff happening in the real world, regardless. Unless you guys are saying, like, there's a way that doesn't happen. And my problem with it altogether would be, like, you know how, like, people are already afraid of living in a simulation? Well, if you upload yourself in there, and you know there's people on the outside, that not knowing of what they could, because if you could code, if like you said, if the computer can process that data, then the people should be able to see that data. And if you can see that data, then you could learn from it, and you could find out what you can do and what you can't do. And when people figure that out, they're gonna start manipulating that shit. You're out of your mind if you think people aren't, right?
So then let's say we figure it out, and somebody does successfully upload all of that. Andrew, as a biological human, has died, but Andrew continues to live on in the virtual world. And let's say the sun has a coronal mass ejection and completely shuts off the power grid for X amount of time. And so for a time, yes, the computers, the hard drives, they have the memory of me and stuff. And, you know, I'm essentially dead for like 6 months, and then they boot everything back up, and then there's my consciousness again booted up. How do you think that would affect anything, or would it be interpreted as like, this is just now the memory file of Andrew living on? Or would it feel like I don't know, what do you think? How would that even work?
So I get there's two options. There's the option of where you're uploaded into some virtual world that we've created where you can do whatever you want, right? And then there's the other one where it's just yourself uploaded, and then that can be uploaded into something else. For example, like, I guess an exoskeleton or a fucking robot, right? And if you were to be uploaded in a robot, that'd be more, there's a lot of movies and shows that's done something similar, where like, when you die, there's automatically a backup file, and you get re-uploaded into another robot. And then you come back and you remember what happened to you. Right.
And yeah,
that way I feel like it'd be fine. The one that I find issue with is the virtual world, right? I think the virtual world would be harder and just have so many issues. Uploading yourself into something else. I guess, which one are we talking about?
the virtual world, right?
If we're talking about the virtual world, I feel like that'll always have issues.
We're talking under conditions of perfect coding, though, correct?
No. Perfect. Not issues as in like. I'm not saying it's figured out. I'm not saying like issues like, oh, so there's a mistake or nothing. Let's say all that's fine. I'm talking about issues as in like, unless you're, or are you saying it's all figured out where we also don't need someone on the outside? That's what I'm asking.
If it's like Matrix world, or if it's like a world where people still live in society and some people still live in this virtual world.
Yeah, let's assume, I think, because if we have the technology for a virtual world, I'm sure we have the technology for AI running it for us, right? I don't think humans have to run it at that point.
So then we're talking at a pretty much Matrix world where most everybody is now in this virtual world.
Yeah.
And then if you interact with the real world, you probably just control a robot that interacts with the real world, which is kind of trippy.
I mean, that would solve a bunch of solutions. There, we wouldn't have to fight for resource. I feel like if that's how we have it, you're always backed up, so you don't actually die. You just be re-uploaded. Our life, we could spend. If we're doing that, we could even code the world to be exactly like ours. Okay, we'll see. So when we do this, we could make we would program a world that would be like ours as we understand it from that time. So then as we understand it, and then we were trying, and let's say we were doing that and we try to learn new things, right? We go into that world and we try to progress, because if you live in a virtual world, progression's not needed. But if you're using it and you ever want to go back out, then you would like to progress in this world, and you would make the world similar to how we see it now. But would that really even benefit us? Because let's say we learn something new, we come back out, it doesn't work because it's how we understood the world or the universe at the time. And that's already wrong, right?
I would say that you wouldn't have a free
that's true.
I would you say, would... yeah, like, even though you've stopped progressing in theory, the whole point of AI, I would think, is that it's not going to stop progressing, right? So you have AI that's running the real world now while everyone else is in the simulation. So your simulation world is still being updated. So you would still understand whatever the new things are. You'd still be able to interact. Like, I picture it like you're in the virtual world, but because there's all these AIs controlling the other stuff, you could still... I'm going to go walk to my house in the virtual worlds and then download this AI bot app and then go explore real world underwater with a robot. But I'm just experiencing it through the AI.
You're blowing my mind right now. That is so going to be a thing. That would be crazy to think that in the virtual world, we're going to even possibly have a scenario where we look through the eyes of an AI in the obviously a temporarily remote controlled AI, but a robot in the real world, outside of the virtual world, almost, I wonder if that would ever become a commodity. Like, oh, they visited the real world. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. And then you'd find stuff out about the real world while also your AI bot gets destroyed. Okay, I still exist.
Dude, what would freak me out about that is how would I ever know that I'm actually looking at the real world or just another simulated world for my own marketing?
The biggest thing that I think would be scary and the hardest thing to figure out is, like, to me, we don't go crazy because we're in a flesh body. Like, at the end of the day, there's certain things that cap us out to keep us from going crazy.
Yeah.
We break those limits and our mind can do whatever it wants. Like, at what point do you even recognize yourself as you anymore and then have a psychotic break?
Exactly. And then try this one on, dude. So imagine living in a world where the government has a certain person in charge, like a president, and the president says something crazy, But because it's a virtual world, they can pick and choose and say what they want to say was, oh, that was actually them or not. That was a fake one. They could just say random crap and see how people respond to it and say they didn't receive it that well. Just say it was fake. Say it was some other hacker or something. Because at that point, reality really is what whoever runs it wants us to believe it is.
We're running into issues. Because if I was to do this, if I was to accept it, I guess, because I'm not really afraid of, I guess I'd say I'm not afraid of death. I don't think so. I mean, obviously I don't want someone to fucking stab me, but
I'm afraid of the pain of death. I don't care about the necessary death aspect.
But like, if you were to, like, yeah, it all comes back to manipulation. I would not want to be manipulated. And even if it's like self-manipulation, where it's like, I myself don't believe I'm real, or I can't tell between real and fake. And now it's like, my whole purpose of it would be to have a longer lifespan to be here when new things are understood. But if I can't even understand that what's real and what's not, then it doesn't matter. Right? Like, to me, it doesn't. I guess other people would be like, oh, okay. So what? Okay. So is there any type of check we could do that would,
it would be a mental therapy check, right?
Well, how would you even, like, what measures could you put in place to be like, okay, you're in the real world? Because if we have if we're figuring out how to code people, we figured things out like a lot, right? And if you figured out how to do that, then you and decode a world, then it would be very similar, if not just the same. So what could you do that the computer couldn't do? Because that's what it would have to be.
Yes, and like, essentially, once you've cracked the code, because it kind of sucks with, or not sucks, but it hurts in the sense that once you do make something that's perfect AI that can, in theory, copy and reproduce everything in life, then already your reality is in question, right? Because it's like, well, if this can be simulated and you can simulate it perfectly, perfectly, perfectly with no glitches, then like reality and what is reality doesn't even necessarily matter. Right.
Okay. Yeah, because they say that, one, if we do reach a certain level of AI, it'll be self-improving infinitely. And then if it improves infinitely, it will get to a level that can calculate every algorithm and crack every code and figure out that there's a God, there's this. It would be able to figure it all out. That's the idea behind like quantum mechanics. And that it can utilize a whole other area of calculating things to take something that a conventional computer, even the most powerful today, would take thousands of years to process. It would take literally minutes for a quantum computer. And that, so that AI, let's say, can do that, and it could tell us all these answers. There's an afterlife, there's this, there's that. If we do get to that level, I'm kind of losing my train of thought, but say again what you were saying, Tyne. It was tying in, I swear.
Yeah, it's like there's no way to even distinguish the difference between reality at that point. Reality in itself becomes...
Oh, yeah. So get this. Once you get to that point where this thing is already peaking and it can do things, there's two scenarios that could happen. One, for whatever reason, that AI figures that there's literally no reason to ever leave the planet, and it never does. Or it does figure there's a reason to leave the planet, and it does. So the idea is, if we ever do become like interplanetary or another species does, it would be in the form of AI. That AI will figure out AI, and it'll advance itself infinitely, supposedly, before we figure out certain things like, you know, virtual reality or whatever. But let's say we do. Let's say the AI does figure out, you know, virtual reality and all that stuff. So in this scenario, there are virtual worlds, which mathematically would always be a higher quantity than real existence, because there's only one real existence. So if any two species creates a virtual world, well, now there's multiple virtual worlds. So if a species created many virtual worlds, then statistically, just looking at the math, we're most likely in a simulation mathematically. If even just one civilization gets to that technological level, then statistically, we're most likely in a simulated world, just because there's going to be more of them always, if it's possible.
So as soon as you started talking about, I think me and you reached the same conclusion, Andrew, where as soon as you said we reached it and it's perfect and we can recreate that, that the first question immediately is, are we already in a simulation, right? Mm-hmm. And that's that would fucking be interesting. I think it's just funny because as soon as you can make it, you're like, how do I already know I'm not already in one? And it's just, it would be insane to think like, what if, and if you already are in one and we don't know, right? Because now, like now, because this is coming for, if we are in one right now, we already don't know. And so if we don't know right now and we were to die, like the possibility is we would die and either someone was running a simulation and just seeing how it would go and just watching, or you put yourself in the simulation and you put yourself in there and you wanted to be born again. You wanted to forget about everything. Like, so then when you die, let's say you woke up into your existence.
Like Roy from Rick and Morty when they're playing Roy.
Yeah. That, it's just
what
like,
if, dude, what if we're just playing a video game right now?
Like, oh yeah,
I'd be mad I didn't do more.
See,
shit. But it'd be what the me wanted, right? So like, that's like.
Yeah, maybe you're like a fucking like huge, like maybe you're like the president and you're just trying to take a load off and you just want to be Tyrell. You go into your Tyrell world, you know, where you're just Tyrell. You're just doing Tyrell things. And you forget about your other life where you're, you know, being a running a country and shit.
The problem is when you go back, how does that not fuck you up?
I don't know.
Because no matter, I can't see a world.
Dude, I was thinking about that. Which one do you feel more like is yourself?
I feel like, well, because once you remember, like, your other life, like, when you come back, you remember your real life. But once you remember, you'd be like, holy shit. Like, I don't know. For example, like, even like, okay, so, I'm African American. What if you were a whole different race, bro? That would like,
we'd solve so many problems.
You'd be like,
run racial simulations.
Now I understand. Imagine coming back in the real world. I understand now.
What if you could just straight up upload that shit? You just like upload him some understanding, you know?
Yeah.
Give him a little bit of open mindedness.
Straight into the veins.
Honestly, though, like, what if racist, like, what if, like, Nazi racist, like, white, you know, KKK member, like, to the top was put in, like, 100 years of simulated slavery as a black person and just had to go through the shit? And that was, like, therapy for making sure we don't have to keep our prisons full of racists. We can just put them through that therapy. I mean, provided that it works, and have them come out an understanding individual.
I guess that would have to be because, like, okay, as soon as, like, let's say when you die, you go back and you remember who you are, but you also remember the life you just lived. Now, the question would be, would it be in a situation where you're like, okay, now you're open minded, like on one side you're open minded, on the other side you still remember you hate that shit. Would it really turn into you being like, okay, I'm gonna narrow this through and be like, okay, I'm in the wrong? Or would it just clash to the point where you would, like, break? I feel like you'd be more often to break than to...
I would run a file suppression on the racism one, my racism life, and then that way it comes back to me slowly, and then slowly also delete all my white-hating things in the process. So that way, when the suppression reawakens at the end and I fully remember my old life, I also don't have the clashing full hatred of the other one.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a way to edit it. I mean, it would be such a terrible power for anyone to have, but...
it would be.
You know, if you could say, like, hey, I really want to... Like, what if somebody's not, like... What if they're, like, prejudiced? If they're like that unbiased racism where, like, they don't know why, but they grip their purse a little harder when there's somebody, like, they don't like next to them that, you know, fits a certain profile, then they don't want to do that. It's just a weird instinct, an insecurity they have. They don't want to do that. Could they just be like, can you just edit that out of me? That would be a terrible power for someone to have. But I don't know.
Honestly, I don't even think you would need to run these. If you run, like, think about, like, Cyberpunk or something like that, right? Where everybody's already in this virtual world. I think more often than not, people will pick avatars that don't reflect their normal person to the point that you already have people changing races so often that it becomes a moot point.
True.
Is it ethical?
Download somebody's mind or...
any of this. I mean, okay, I guess we could start from around, like, okay. I guess, and when you look at it, okay, if I upload myself, okay, that's fine. But when you get to editing, it wouldn't... how do you determine, okay, and when people determine, like, if something ethical, is it, do they determine ethical based off of, like, what could possibly be done, or off of just, like, what's the intent is?
So here's the fear I have with it being... to determine if it's ethical or not. So, okay, if Elon Musk makes a chip that you could put in your brain and it makes your brain more efficient and cures paralysis, prevents Alzheimer's, prevents seizures, all that good stuff. But you put the chip in your head and you tell whoever you trust to do this, I guess, like you sign a waiver that says in 1 year, I want the chip removed. I want a year with the chip in my head to do things. And then after a year, remove it no matter what I say. It has to be removed. That way you have to go back to life without the chip and see if you, without the chip, still wants the chip. Because there could be you saying, let me put the chip in my head, and then I'll tell you if I want it or not. And the chip just has it where you will always say good things about the chip, you know? So if the next year, you're probably going to love the chip. If you didn't, that'd be interesting. But let's assume you love the chip, and when you get the chip taken out, that's when you could potentially see how you really felt without the chip in your brain influencing your thoughts and stuff, you know? So in that study, I would say, is it ethical or not? It would be probably easier to say if it's ethical, if you can do something like that. And I think if a person gets a chip in their head for a year, takes it out, and then says they want to put it back in, I mean, I'd say go for it. I think that's ethical.
Yeah, I guess it would be ethical as long as we use, as long as we're not, I guess I'm talking about something completely different.
It's how you do it.
Yeah, it's how you do it. But is it worth the,
I think so.
You think it's worth?
I think it's worth because I kind of look at it like this. Do you think that world peace is achievable? 100% world peace.
No, not
right in the current thing we got going on.
So, at least in a virtual world and virtual destruction, people can go towards their vices and things like that without destroying the place that we're already at. As well as, even if people lose who they are, if their point is to progress and it actually goes towards being more peaceful and together, I don't think it matters as much.
I guess you have to ask the question, at what point do we sacrifice freedom for peace? Because essentially, in that world, we are giving up the totality of our freedom. And in exchange for peace is kind of a philosophical question. But, you know, a man once said, those who give up freedom for peace deserve neither. So I don't
think you give up freedom for peace, though. I think you open up the idea of infinite freedom so that there's an ability to have peace. It's like the idea of heaven. If you watch Supernatural, their idea of heaven is very interesting because it's more like...
I haven't, unfortunately.
Well, everyone has their own room. Every consciousness is like separated, right? So it's like being in a dream that you always control, and everyone that you want there can be there or not there. So like, I no longer have to go kill somebody because I never have to ever interact with a real person. I can just simulate all of my people.
That is interesting. How do laws work in a virtual world?
See, the problem with the virtual world is in a virtual world, peace isn't guaranteed either. You just won't die, right? And it would just be easier to punish people because they're data, so you'd always know who did it. But, like...
What did what, I think, is Tyan's point, right? What law are you breaking in a virtual world?
Right. Like, the only one that would actually destroy somebody is if you completely destroy all their copies so that there's none of them left. If there's people doing stuff like that, that's the only reason you would have.
Actually, it'd be worse in a virtual world.
You can delete any memory of anything happening, though.
No, but I'm saying the if you're talking about peace and the virtual world, the only way to have peace would be to control it. You can't.
Well, this is a crude example, I think, but okay, if somebody, let's say there's a married couple and the guy wants to go bang a goddess and he virtually creates like some goddess that like not even human, just a goddess among goddesses that can give him the best sex of his life. Is that cheating? It's a non-existent thing. I mean, if a guy can go watch porn in a relationship and she doesn't give a fuck, what's the difference of this in a virtual world? You know, well, is that cheating?
Okay. No. So I would say if we're talking about a virtual world where you have your own room and everything in it, but you is not real, then it's peaceful and it's fine. But if you're in a virtual world with others that are real, like these are other beings that are in the same virtual world in the same space as you, then I feel like that world would be worse than the actual world because it's fake and people know it's fake.
Do you think people would fuck with each other?
Yes.
I think somebody instead would go home, simulate the person that was fucking with them, get out their anger on that simulation and call it a day.
See, yeah, that would be fine.
That's what I would do. Yeah.
Yeah.
If that's legal, but if I can beat the shit out of somebody that pissed me off without actually having to beat the shit out of them, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, that actually sounds like a pretty cool fucking world, you know?
The simulations are so perfect that, like, at the end of the day, you going to your simulation room relieves what you wanted.
Yeah. That is interesting.
That's in context of you staying in a virtual world. I feel like if you did that, if you did fucked up shit in a virtual world and then came back to the real world and the virtual world was like, let's say the virtual world was releasing stress, right? But you'd have to look at the long-term effects of someone doing like heinous shit or whatever they want in a virtual world. I mean, I say heinous because we have to assume. I feel like you always have to assume.
Dude, what if as a penalty, if you do some real fucked up shit, that they block you from everyone in the virtual world? So your virtual world, you're absolutely alone.
Oh, you go crazy.
Yeah, like you'd actually go crazy in there.
I'm talking about even in a world, in a virtual world where everyone is fake except you. If you're doing that for a long period of time and then coming back out, there's bound to be long term effects of like, some people would probably like enjoy it too much and want to try it for real. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's why I say the hardest part about any of this is the going crazy. At what point you dissociate and then no longer care about what reality is.
As long as the simulation can keep up limbic resonance and really feed to our like sensory perception, I think that we can fulfill the psychological aspect of it as long as it's got the basic human needs, right? Like, you know, being surrounded by a community. And does it have to be real, do you think?
Oh, that's true, because you could also have it already pre-programmed with things like, yeah, all the people are fake, but maybe it reads your body scan, can tell that you're tripping out about this person, maybe homicidal about this person, and now NPC 3 is going into therapy mode and talking you through it.
Exactly.
Right? Is that true? But then you go back into the real world and you see that guy again and he's an asshole. Like,
I don't know if there's a real world to really go see him in. I think it's just like on the internet today.
I'm saying virtual to virtual. You walk out into a virtual world with other virtual people and then you can go back home and then bam, another mini simulation room in your virtual world.
This is Inception levels.
That's essentially what would happen.
Dude, you know that would happen. Like, a real conspiracy would be like, hey, you know when you leave the virtual world? What if that isn't real? That would be a whole other conspiracy.
I mean, that's already the case. This isn't...
I know, right?
Hey, guys, I know this is a abrupt cut, but this is pretty much the end of the simulation conversation. If you guys like the conversation and want us to go further on it, please let me know. I think we circle back later when we're talking of, when we end up talking about alcohol versus drugs and a lot of different stuff. And that podcast will actually come out next Monday. But feel free to put anything down in the comments if you guys want further discussion on this stuff. Just tell me what you guys like so I can go ahead and talk about that. We love giving our opinions on different types of things. And like I said, this is a podcast more about understanding rather than convincing anybody. We're just giving out our thoughts and, you know, throwing stuff out there. If you've got this far and made it to the end, I appreciate you for listening. You can go to our, if you search up Part-Time Kids, you'll probably find a channel by the Stuffums on the YouTube. The same thing, it's Part-Time Kids podcast channel. And there will be links to the Discord and the Twitter. If you are watching on YouTube, you'll see all that in the description. If you're watching it through anchor.fm, I'm trying to figure out a way to make sure you guys can ask us questions through the voice thing. I'm pretty sure I'll have that set up by next week. But yeah, I appreciate you guys for watching. Have a good one.